Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Amen. Yes, it works. Okay. Whoa. So yeah, I apologize, it's a bit of the Luke Graham show tonight. It's because it's half term and all of the clergy skive off when it's the school holidays. What are you looking at today? Well, welcome. Welcome again. Sorry, I'm a bit flustered. It's so good to see you all. Have we got it? Yes. I was really proud of that. How cool does that look? I'm not even like a graphic designer or anything. I just whipped that up on the internet. You're welcome. So, this evening, we are continuing our series on the four marks of membership. So, at St. Bees, we've got four things that we'd love you to do if you want to be a regular member here. And this week, we're talking about belonging. So I was wondering what you belong to. What do you belong to? Throughout our lives, we navigate through relationships, we traverse challenges, we journey with different people along the way, and we constantly ask ourselves the question, do I belong here? It's a really natural question. Now, I don't know about you, on which Disney films you were raised on, but for me, in my household, it was Hunchback of Notre Dame, Fox and the Hound, Mulan, and these were basically just the ones we had the videos for. But the favourite was Hercules, and there's an incredible part, you might know it, but there's a really great self-reflection ballad at the start of Hercules, which I absolutely love. Second only to Reflections in Mulan, that's also a good one. But it's called Go the Distance, and it's a really cool song that sprung to my mind when thinking about belonging. So in the film, you've got young Hercules, who's the son of Zeus, a Greek god, and he suddenly realizes that he doesn't quite belong with his human peers. And I've got a special treat, we're going to watch it. This clip of the film. Here you go. Oh, no. It's on the click. It's like embedded. Ah. I could sing it. I can go the distance. I'm not going to do that. But he says in the song, I would go anywhere to find where I belong. You know the words. What I let down. So, before we look closer at our call to belong to the body of Christ, I want us to think about the concept of belonging in general. So, Oxford's English Dictionary tells us that belonging in this context is simply to be a member of or to be accepted and held within a group. So, you could say, he belongs to the school Warhammer Club. But Abraham Maslow talks about belonging. So this guy behind me, he was regarded as one of the most influential psychologists of the 20th century, and he spent his lifetime studying human needs and motivations. And his works culminated in his theory of needs model. And this model lists our fundamental and most basic needs as humans in order of importance to us. And he deduced that our most basic human needs were our physical needs. So that was breathing, oxygen, food, and water. They're the most basic things that we need as humans. Followed closely by shelter, which is our security, where we sleep and things like that. But what's interesting is that the third need that he lists is belonging. So he says that we need to belong as one of our most basic needs. And it's interesting to look that number four is esteem, which is to be respected or admired by others. But belonging comes before that, which is really interesting. And it seems to be a primal itch that we are all desperate to scratch. Now, this doesn't surprise me. If we look around, we see this yearning for belonging everywhere. Just in this room, I would imagine that between us, we represent a whole host of different communities. So I've got another bit of interaction for you. Hopefully it'll work. All I want you to do is give me a little cheer if the thing that I mention is something that you belong to, okay? So there is no shame in the kingdom. You need to be vocal here, or this is not going to work. It'll fall flat. So some of us belong to a local football team. A parent toddler group, a book club, a local pub, a political party, a sports fan base, an online gaming community, a restaurant reviews community, a dog training club, a parent forum, a dance class, a pub quiz team, a parents association, a lion taming fraternity, or maybe a parcel tongue language class. The list goes on. But we all also belong to institutions of belonging without formal names. So we're all in friendship circles, and we all identify with some form of family. And even beyond these constructs, we seek out and find belonging in many different forms. So in the street that we live on, in seeing a semi-famous person on the TV that grew up where your mum did, or in our national identity, in hearing a song on the radio that your friend can play on the guitar, or in finding out that your neighbour comes from a country that you've heard of. We are desperate to feel connected and to feel like we belong. We are brought to life by our shared experiences. We are invigorated by the opportunities we have to contribute to something bigger than our own sense of self. We are grown by being invited into group interaction, and we are motivated by striving towards a common goal. Another psychologist called Baumeister suggests that belonging is the vehicle to meaningfulness as we can contribute to the lives of others, and it's also a vehicle to happiness as others are able to contribute to us. So I want to pause there, and I'd like to invite you, with the person next to you, to just spend 30 seconds describing a moment when you felt belonging, a moment when you've really felt that you belong. So maybe it's a cozy Christmas dinner, maybe a cup-winning sports triumph, maybe shared euphoria at a music concert, or even just watching a film with a group of friends. So you've got 30 seconds each. Go. Okay, and switch over. Okay. If you finish up those conversations. So my story of belonging comes from the dark, dark depths of university initiation ceremonies. But it's not very interesting, so you'll have to come to the pub if you want to hear that one. It's not PG-13. But hopefully you found something that was really cool, that was something that where you felt like you belonged. And I'm sure that you would have recalled a time where your sense of belonging outweighed your worries or anxieties, a situation that seemed to diffuse the busyness of your life and disarm the niggling worries and any lack of a sense of purpose. Because belonging is such a powerful thing. Yet, a national statistics survey in the UK on national well-being that was released in April suggests that the main challenges that younger adults face with regards to their well-being is a lack of sense of belonging, loneliness, and not having someone to rely on. Moreover, the survey suggests that adults aged between 25 and 54 were largely identified to be dissatisfied with their leisure time. So it poses the question, what are we doing wrong? Are we choosing not to belong, or are we not being inclusive enough? Are we creating communities that aren't attractive or satisfying to belong to? I'm curious about what you're doing, or more importantly, what you're not doing that's having an impact on this national sense of belonging. Are you helping to facilitate belonging in your communities? Maybe you yourself are missing that sense of belonging. So the good news is that we have the Bible, which is the most incredible narrative of belonging that we have to learn from. And if we zoom right out of the Bible and we look at it from more of a meta perspective, then we can really track the journey of mankind belonging with God. So first we have, none of my animations have worked. So I spent ages on this. I'm disappointed. First we have Eden. Just pretend it's like this. So we have Eden, Genesis 1 and 2. We read about the Garden of Eden, where God has created somewhere that there is no pain and no suffering. And soon after that, we have Genesis 3, where we eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we're sent out of the garden with sin because we choose for ourselves not to belong to God, but to belong to ourselves. So to make our own choices, we are sent out in exile from the Garden of Eden. And then we look at the Bible. It's essentially a complete narrative in the Old Testament of mankind working with God, in order to try and get back to that level of relationship. So it's called the Old Covenant relationship. And it's kind of us constantly making mistakes. The Old Covenant, which is God's promise to Israel, to hold them as a treasured and holy nation if they obey his voice and keep his commands. But as we know, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Hallelujah, amen. So that our relationship with God can then be restored. And without our sins in the way of us and God, we are invited back into belonging. And this is the gift that Jesus offers us through his sacrifice. So this is also known as the new covenant relationship. So belonging to the kingdom of God is the gift that Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, promises us will lead us to attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that's a pretty cool thing to want to aim for, right? Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are told that our journey from exiles to heirs will eventually lead us back to a new Jerusalem or a city of peace, a new Eden, if you like. So it kind of loops us back into Eden. It's kind of a cyclical thing. Because we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, that God says, "Behold, I am making all things new." In other words, God is saying, "I am restoring the world back to order. I'm leading us back from the chaos that we have caused from our selfishness and exile back to fullness as we saw in the Garden of Eden." Now, with reference to this verse, "Behold, I'm making all things new," it's important to look and notice that there are two different words for new in the Greek in the New Testament. So the word that Paul uses here is kainos. Can you say kainos with me? Very good. Greek scholars, the lot of you. So the word kainos means to restore something old into something new. Okay? And that's different to the other word for new, which is neos. You say that? Neos. Oh, you guys are too good. And that means brand new. So to give you an example of what kainos is, you may know Mike and Lydia Allwright, repping over there. Yes, they are. Their flat is full of incredible pieces of furniture that they've upcycled. So they're all projects where they've found old and tired bits and bobs of crates, pallets, wood, bottles, and they've restored them into furniture. So we have an example here, maybe. Yes. Okay, so this was like a crate they got that they've made into a shoe rack, and I believe Ruth Ginger was involved in this. So here they've made this old box, kainos. They've restored it back to its former glory. So when God says, "Behold, I am making all things kainos," he's inviting us into a world that resembles Eden, because the world that God originally created and designed without pain and suffering is kind of being brought back in into being. And this is significant because we have a role to play in this great restoration project. Paul describes this in Ephesians 3 as God's marvelous plan. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are invited to be heirs, along with Israel, and members of one body, which is a really, really key phrase, one body. We are called here to belong as part of God's royal priesthood, and it's incredible. It's a role that our sinful natures really, really don't deserve. Yet through belonging and thriving as the body of Christ, we start to see God make all things kainos. So Martin Luther, who was the leader of the Reformation movement back in Germany, is not to be confused with Martin Luther King Jr., who was the civil rights activist. I thought they were the same person for ages, I'll be honest. But Martin Luther, the Reformation dude, he spoke about sin being like a life turned in on itself. So where our pride leads us to make decisions that assume the universe revolves around us. And when we ate from the tree in the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, we started to make decisions for the self. And because we are fallible humans, those decisions started to damage the world and the people around us. Our sense of belonging becomes muddled when we have selfish ambition. I wonder how many times you've decided to please that carnal, sinful desire and ended up hurting yourself, or worse still, hurting those that you love and those that love you. I know that I've been there far more times than I would care to admit. So we are somewhere in the middle of this narrative, but what does that mean for us? Where do we belong? What do we have to do? They're all fantastic questions. So that brings us to today's reading, which is from Ephesians. So if you need a Bible, you'd like to track it in the Bible, then do stick your hand up. It will be on the screens behind me. So this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians, we're in chapter 4, verse 3. And Ephesus was a huge ancient city. It was a hub of trade and activity right in the heart of the ancient world. It was a hugely multicultural city. We had Romans, Greeks, Jews, Gentiles, all worshipping different gods and idols. And Paul is kind of speaking into this culture. So starting in chapter 4, verse 3, we're going to continue the narrative. And what Paul has been doing up to this point is essentially describing to the church there just how incredible the invitation that Jesus has given us is. The fact that he's died and rose again to bring us in to be co-heirs, equal partners with Jesus Christ. It takes him three chapters to really try and get that on paper. But we pick it up in chapter 4. At verse 3, which I'll read for us. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's so good. Paul is so good. And I don't know about you, but when I'm reading something like this, I need to read it about 10 times before I really get my head around what's going on. Especially when Paul uses so many sentences. But essentially what we're reading here is Paul speaking into a culture of disunity, a split society, a people who aren't feeling particularly harmonious. I wonder if anyone was at Hyde Park this weekend, and this sounds a bit familiar. But what Paul is saying is really simple. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul here is saying that our lives turned in on themselves are leading us to destruction because we are focusing on belonging to the self. But Paul squashes that mindset and he says that we all belong to one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. We get it, Paul, we get it. What Paul is saying is absolutely applicable to us today, that we are all on the same team, that we belong to the same Lord and Savior. and the unity of the Spirit is what holds us together. He then sells us this dream of belonging as one body. You know, he kind of talks about what it means, what it's going to lead to. And he says that as we act as one body, as we're unified, it will enable us to get to a unity in the faith and a unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. And that will enable us to become mature. And then that will give us the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He says we will attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is how Paul kind of puts it together, that our togetherness and our belonging gets us to this point. But to reach this goal, we have to play our part in growing the body, in extending belonging. Paul explains in verse 11 how we are supposed to do that. He says that he gave us the apostles, the preachers, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. It says he gave us different skills, different gifts, different interests. And that's a cool bit. We often focus on that, but I think it's the next verse, which is really, really important. He says he gave us these different gifts, these different skills. Verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. So we can get caught up in like, oh, what's my skill? How am I contributing? But what Paul here is saying is it's not the what he's given you, but it's why has God given you those skills? He's given that to us to equip his people for works of service so that the body may be built up until we reach unity. Does that make sense? God empowers us to belong, then to use our gifts to serve so that we can grow the body, we can reach unity, and I'll say it again, so we can attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what does that mean for me? Well, the question is, what are your gifts? Where are your gifts at? How can you help to grow the church? What role is there for you which will show the world that we belong to one body, one Spirit, and one God? Paul makes it clear that we've been equipped by God with our different skill sets to grow the body. We all belong to the body of Christ. And if you're regularly attending St. Barnabas, then we want to help you belong by participating and serving here. We're striving towards unity, towards a maturity of faith and attaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. And it's not going to happen if the age-old cliche that we have 10% of people doing 90% of the things. As the body, we're called to engage and to grow each other, to serve each other, and to bring others into a place of belonging. So, how can we invite our community into a place of belonging if we ourselves don't feel as though we belong? We all lead very busy lives. We all do lots of things. And it's very, very easy to opt out of church community. It's so easy to make that choice, especially when we're leading busy lives. There's lots going on a Sunday. But that's not the church that we read about in Acts. It's not the church that I think about when I read passages like this that say we're one body. It's not really what, when you read about these crazy revivals or amazing stories of church communities that have flourished and grown. It's not a Sunday-only thing. And speaking from being up in the office, we spend every Tuesday, we have a core meeting with a few of the key ministry leaders. And essentially, we spend 2 hours just trying to talk about how we can facilitate people becoming part of the body of Christ. How can we help you guys to be part of church? Like, what's working, what's not? Who can we empower? Who can we implore? How do we get guys and people involved? And the things that we've come up with so far, we've got 2 to 4 groups, which is where you gather together with 2 to 4 people, clues in the name. And it's a kind of an accountability thing. You meet and you can pray and you can have a prayer partner. It's quite a hard thing to get. It's working well for those who have 2 to 4s. But we kind of don't talk about it and assume people have them, but people don't. If you want to talk to me more about it, Chris Alexander is really passionate about those, and we can kind of help you. We can help matchmake a bit. We also have life hubs, which are going to be starting really soon, kind of have started. They are not home groups, but they're like home groups. Okay? Because home groups can be cliquey. These are different, but the same, but different. And I didn't say them in the same sentence. Life Hub, you'll meet and you'll study the passage that we looked at in the sermon the week before, and you're going to say, like, what's it saying to the people in the Bible? What's it saying to us? And what are you going to do about it? And we're going to try and hold each other accountable. How are you going to put this practice into your life? How are you going to walk the talk? And those are going to be starting to form, so do keep your ear to the ground. And we're going to eat together, share together. And when we get to 12 people, we'll split into two groups of six. And we will multiply and become one body. We've got a Bible study on a Thursday at the Bohemia for young adults and whoever. We've got the community choir that meets on a Thursday. We've got Jesus is a Game Changer course, which is a great thing for new Christians or people who are exploring faith. And we've got so much more. Look at the invited flyer, look at the bulletin, talk to key leaders, talk to the Connect team. Like, there is so much going on that people don't really realize. And I just want to kind of implore you to have a look, to start exploring and to see where you can get involved. Because we are passionate about bringing people into their full potential as sons and daughters of Jesus. And it's impossible to escape the biblical truth. That means that acts of service are part of growing the body of Christ. And that's kind of what we're called to as well. And like, we're so blessed by the incredible way that so many of you serve this church. Like, just looking around, I can see so many incredible volunteers. Like, my man Andy, who's taken parking on the mantle for parking. Absolute hero. And Janet as well, who does it so sacrificially. We've got, like, so many. I'm going to stop naming, or I'll get in trouble for not naming people. I love you all. But it's such a blessing to be able to do that, and it is what we're called to do. And finding ways that you can get involved is really, really important. And I think, like, again, I'll say it again because I want to make it clear that we can often think, like, I'm gonna participate in church, I'm gonna engage in church, but I can do that on a Sunday, and I've got community elsewhere, or I'm gonna dip my toe into this, and I play football on a Tuesday anyway. But there's something really unique about the body of Christ and about the church. And I think that if you look through the Bible, you can really see a clear theme of believers bounding together to make these communities. And it all revolves around unity. And if you're going to one church service at this church, and then you go into a prayer meeting at this other church, and you've got a Bible study with another church, and you meet a prayer partner from a different place, it's great for your spiritual journey, but you're not building the body. And like, that is kind of what Paul is saying in this passage, that we're called to grow the body, to be one. So then that's the belonging side, and Paul also talks about serving. So just a quick word on that. John 13:14, we see this in great scene where Jesus goes to the Last Supper and he washes all of his disciples' feet. And you've probably all heard a sermon about that. But just to use this one verse where Jesus says to his disciples, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Now that is kind of metaphorical. You don't have to wash people's feet literally, but you could. But that's God, the Lord of the universe, washing people's feet and saying that if I can do it, you can do it too. So just as we come into land, I would love it if you could spend some time just chatting to the person next to you about where you belong at this church, what you do currently, how you see yourself within the greater body of St. Barnabas. What skills do you have? What do you love to do? What do you wish we did a little bit better? So I'm going to leave you to do that. So why don't you just spend a couple of minutes doing that? And we'll get the band up as well, if they're around.